By the time I was 18 years old, I had been to 31 countries, and I had lived in Austria, Spain, Malawi, Burma, and Indonesia. This story is actually about a trip I took to one of the more exotic places that I've ever been. I'm speaking, of course, of Alabama. My father was in the U.S. Foreign Service. My mother, sitting right there, is originally from Mexico. And even though my passport said that I was a U.S. citizen, of those first 18 years, only two had been spent in the U.S. So much of my life has been spent in pursuit of what it means to be an American, what being American means, both personally and in a broader sense. And two of my touchstones for that have always been music, American music of all kinds, and road trips. And so in 2003, I discovered an activity which allowed me to combine those two things. It's called shape note singing. And for those of you who don't know, shape note singing is this deeply beautiful and profoundly weird and distinctively American 200-year-old a cappella choral singing tradition that began actually in colonial New England, but really took root in the Deep South. And basically what you have is these gatherings where people come from all over the place to pack a church and belt out loud hymns in four-part harmony for one or two days straight and eat lots of fried foods. And it's like the best parts of church, but without any of the bad parts of church, you know? And it's a little, for those who aren't familiar, it's a little hard to give a sense of what it sounds like without, you know, 50 of my closest friends standing up here with me. But an example of one of the songs that we sing is this. And am I born to die, to lay this body down, and must my trembling spirit fly into So I began taking these road trips. It's appreciated, but I really don't want to run out of time. So I began taking these road trips to places, Virginia, Georgia, places that I'd never expected to go, and really discovering parts of America that I'd never thought that I'd go to. And on one of these singing road trips, I met this wonderful man named Stanley. He's a singer from Alabama, and Stanley is one of the nicest guys that I've ever met in my life. He's also very different from most people that I've ever met in my life. He's, to give you a picture, he's about 6'4", weighs about 300 pounds. He's balding up top, got a rat tail in the back. And, you know, he does a little freight hauling, a little construction, a little landscaping, like a lot of Southern guys. And Stanley's full of testimony about the person he was before he found the Lord. And each revelation of who he was before he found the Lord is a little bit more disturbing. You know, like, before he found the Lord, Stanley drank a little bit. Before he found the Lord, he may have done a drug or two. Before he found the Lord, he knew an unsettlingly high number of people who'd been in the KKK. Before he found the Lord, Stanley used to rent out the cab of his semi to prostitutes at truck stops and then take a cut of their earnings for the night. So all of his friends are very, very happy that Stanley found the Lord. anyway, so one year Stanley invites a big group of us to come down and spend some time with him over a singing weekend in Alabama. And, you know, I thought that I'd been to the South at that point because I'd been to, like, Atlanta, right? But you really haven't been to the South until you've been to rural northeastern Alabama in the middle of August when the heat's like a furnace and the whole world turns into wild kudzu and red clay dirt and feral dogs. And so we're in Stanley's house out in the hinterlands, and just as a side note, his girlfriend operated a massage therapy practice there at the house that she called Sweet Ohm Alabama, which I thought was really cute. one night before we left, Stanley said that he wanted to treat us, and so he took us to this place. It was the only restaurant in Randolph County, Alabama, called Butler's Mill, and it was, you know, this emporium of fried southern food. And this big group of us rolled up, and just as we got there, this hellacious storm blew up and knocked out the power for just a couple of minutes, long enough so that the staff had to throw away all of the food that had been in the ovens, and they didn't bother to cook more. So we came in, and the buffet was kind of diminished, which was fine for most of us, but Stanley was a little affronted. You know, he felt like the host here. So he started coming up to the staff saying, "Where's the food at? And I promised my friends best food in Randolph County. This is ridiculous." And so, you know, the staff were a little intimidated by this big guy getting angry at them, so they told the manager. And here is where you can tell the distinction between the urbanized North and the rural South, because if this scene had played out in, Brewpub in Baltimore County, you know what would happen. The manager would come out and be like, guys, sorry for the inconvenience, but, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. And then he would, like, knock 10% off your tab and comp you some popcorn shrimp. But this is Randolph County, Alabama, so the manager of the restaurant naturally called the law. And what he told them was that this big group of rowdies led by a huge trucker was cussing the staff and starting trouble. The law thought that there was some riot brewing up at the restaurant, so they rolled up three squad cars deep, each of them disgorging two deputies, and they come in, and, you know, their eyes are wide with anticipation, hands hovering over their batons. They are ready for a bloody Donnybrook, and sure, they see Stanley, all, you know, 300 angry pounds of him, but then their eyes kind of slide over to the left, and they see me. And then sitting to my right, my left was my friend Patty, who's this adorable little like 20-something in a sundress, and then there was Miss Shelby, who was like 75 and used a walker, and she had these like Terminator shades on. So the deputies, you know, all the fight went out of them. They realized that we weren't the Hell's Angels meth heads that they'd been led to believe. But, you know, it was the manager's establishment, so they had to escort us out. So, you know, we're all out there in the parking lot laughing about it. And I noticed that Stanley was choking back tears. And I realized that, you know, so for me, this had been a great American adventure. It was a great singing road trip. But for Stanley, this had been an opportunity to extend hospitality to people who were very different from him, and to demonstrate to us the difference between the man he was that night and the man he used to be before he found the Lord. And it struck me that the theme of redemption through reinvention is the quintessential American story, that the fact that we have the freedom to change our destinies and to be better than who we used to be is probably the greatest thing about being an American. So we were all hugging Stanley, and, you know, he was telling us the last time he got tossed out of the restaurant, you know, he downed a bottle of tequila, put a man in the hospital, broke a table, right? And he was, like, fuming about the manager. And we're like, yeah, let it go. He's like, well, that some bitch just lucky that I found the Lord.